Vayam chatvam chayam cheme. Tulya kalas charachara. Janma mrityor yatha paschat. Pranaivam aduna pibhu. Vayam chvatvam chayep cheme. Tulya kalas charachara. Janma mrityor yatha paschat. Pranaivam aduna pibo. Vayam chvatvam chaye cheme. Tulya kalas charachara. Janma mrityor yatha pascha. Pranaivam aduna pibo. Vayam chatvam chaye cheme. Tulya kalas charachara. Janma mrityor yatha pascha. Pranaivam aduna pibo. Matajis. Vayam, we, the great sages and ministers and adherents of the king, cha, and, tvam, you, cha, also, ye, who, cha, also, ime, these, Tulya Kalaha, assembled at the same time. Chara Acharaha, moving and not moving. Janma, birth. Mrityo, and death. Yatha, just as. Paschat, after. Prak, before. Na, not. Evam, thus. Aduna, at present. Api, although. Bo, O King. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, both you and us, your advisors, wives and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false. Purport. The Mayavadi philosophers say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman, the living being, is factual, but his present bodily situation is false. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, however, the present situation is not false, but temporary. It is like a dream. A dream does not exist before one falls asleep, nor does it continue after one awakens. The period for dreaming exists only between these two, and therefore it is false in the sense that it is impermanent. Similarly, the entire material creation, including our own creation and those of others, is impermanent. We do not lament for the situation in a dream before the dream takes place or after it is over. And so, during the dream or during a dreamlike situation, one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. This is real knowledge. Omagyanatimirandasya gyananjana shlakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupagadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha sirupam sagrajatam sagana raghunathanvitam tamsajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Parana Dana Dasa Iti Namine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurudintarinam Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Vipritam Syat Sri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So here in this chapter, the sages Narada and Angira are paving the way for King Chitraketu's spiritual path, the path of Krishna consciousness. So we observe how King Chitraketu is in an ocean of lamentation, and the sages Narada and Angira are instructing him about spirit and matter. This is just like the situation in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains to Arjuna, he begins with explaining to him the difference between spirit and matter. Here, in this particular, and Prabhupada actually says this is real knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita also he explains, knowledge means to know spirit and matter and the connection between them. Here in this particular purport, Prabhupada gives the example of a dream. All of us have had dreams, so it's very easy to understand that analogy. Another analogy which could drive home this point was that is when somebody watches a movie, you identify with the character in the movie so much that even if nothing is happening to you, still you react when the hero or the heroine, something happens to them, you react. In a dream, of course, we see ourselves and something happens to us, we react. But when one is so absorbed in something, when say, for example, if one is absorbed in a movie and sees the hero in a vulnerable situation, then one feels the pain. When one feels the hero joyful, then one feels the happiness. Actually, nothing, factually nothing is happening to us. But because of that strong sense of identification, we feel that it is happening to us. Of course, I'm not saying that we should watch a movie to see this practically, and because we don't watch movies. I'm just giving an analogy because all of us have had experience of watching movies in the past. So to just drive home this point that here you can see very clearly that you're not identifying, at least in a dream, you're seeing yourself, something is happening to you. But in when you watch a movie, you're not, nothing's happening to you factually, it's happening to somebody else. That is the nature of identification. When you identify with matter, you begin to think that is happening to you. So like that, when we identify with the material body, when we identify with things connected to the material body, we begin to think that it is us and these belong to us. So that is the nature of material bodily identification. And Prabhupada gives the analogy that just like the night dream, before you go to bed, there is no dream. After you wake up, there is no dream. So before sleep, after sleep, the same thing is happening. Prabhupada explains that our day life is called daydreaming, Prabhupada says. So here you have night dream, you have before dream, before sleeping, and then you wake up. But in the daydream, you're born and then you die. In the period between birth and death, whatever happens to you is a daydream. And it does not mean that it's not happening. It is happening. But it has no factual existence. So that is the whole point here in this chapter, that Narada and Angira are trying to explain to King Chitraketu, before your son's death, he did not exist before he was born, and there's no factual relationship between you and him before that. He was born, then he died, and you think that a factual relationship exists. But it is similar to the situation before he was born. There is no factual relationship. However, these things sometimes difficult to understand. Especially in the modern civilization that we live, we are so contaminated that even simple things we fail to understand. So Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Harinam Sankirtan movement, and anybody who hears the chanting of the holy names will become purified. So sometimes we may wonder, we are going and doing Harinam on the streets. People may be interested, may not be interested. We are anyway chanting the holy names. So how does it benefit them? So Prabhupada explains very clearly that by the chanting of the holy names, just by hearing, they may not be even attentive, or they may not even participate in it, but just the sound of the holy names can purify. So even to understand these things, that you are not the body, we are spirit souls, and we have a connection with Krishna, even to understand these basic things, you need to be purified. So, Lord Chaitanya has to come to give us three things. And Sarvam Bhattacharya explains that very nicely. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. So, Vairagya Vidya and Nija Bhakti Yoga. So we may think, oh, Lord Chaitanya came to give Bhakti Yoga. But Sarvam Bhattacharya clarifies very clearly that he came to give us Vairagya, Vidya and Nija Bhakti Yoga. These three things always go together. So sometimes we hear, okay, all this jnana, that's not for devotees. That kind of jnana refers to Bhagavad jnana, refers to Brahma jnana. You're not interested in Brahma jnana. But what we do here, like for example, we hear Bhagavatam. We discuss about Krishna. That kind of discussion is called Bhagavad jnana. So Lord Chaitanya came, he relished hearing the Bhagavatam. In fact, this is our main scripture, the Bhagavatam. So, practicing Bhakti Yoga does not mean that we do not read the scriptures. At some point we forget about scripture, we only think about chanting the holy names. Chanting the holy names, reading the scripture goes hand in hand. They are not two separate processes. And Vairagya, because that is the nature of a real devotee. The nature of a real devotee is that he is detached from material life. And Prabhupada gives the example, analogy of the sun. So when the sun arises, there is no more darkness. So when we practice pure devotional service, there is no material attachment. Of course, it goes away in phases. Just like in the beginning there is dawn. So at that time, it is not fully bright. But as the sun rises, then all the darkness is dissipated. So like that, when the sun of the holy name rises in our heart, when we hear Bhagavatam from the great devotees, then the effect is that our material attachments diminish. So this is the sure sign that we are practicing Krishna consciousness properly and we are situated in Krishna consciousness properly. Prabhupada explains this very clearly. He's in several different lectures and in his purports, that this is the real test, Prabhupada says, that if we are chanting the holy name sincerely and we are hearing the Bhagavatam, then naturally there is detachment from material affairs. So then what does detachment from material affairs mean? Does it mean that everybody merges into one class of life called the sannyasis? There is no other class. There is no brahmachari, there is no grahastha, there is no vanaprastha, there is only sannyasi. Because we are not interested anymore in material affairs. Well, Prabhupada actually, when he defines a sannyasi, he defines that one whose body, mind and words are dedicated to the service of Krishna is actually a sannyasi. So in one sense, yes, all of us are supposed to become sannyasis, but that does not necessarily mean changing the external form. It means seeing everything, body, mind, words, in this, engaging everything fully in the service of Krishna. It's like Bhaktivinod Thakur. We had his appearance day yesterday and he sings, Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor arpilu tuve pade nandakishore. Manasa deho geho. Manasa, the mind, Prabhupada explains, everything begins with the mind. And even in the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada in his preface explains that in the yoga process, we begin with the mind. So we engage the mind in the service of the Lord. Manmana bhava bhakto. So we engage engage the mind, body, manasa deho geho, and everything connected with the body, the service of the Lord. So that can be possible only when one practices proper devotional service. So the example here is of here we see King Chitraketu lamenting for his son. And earlier on, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, we also have the death of not one child, but five children. Here, King Chitraketu has lost one son. And of course, that's all that he had. But Draupadi also, we can see in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, that she had five children and she lost all of them. And Prabhupada makes a few important points about her in a lecture. This was given on the 13th of September 1976 in Vrindavan. So we can see the difference between somebody who is not Krishna conscious. Of course, here by the association of Narada and Angira, King Chitraketu becomes Krishna conscious. But here here in this first canto, chapter 7, we have the example of Draupadi, who is already Krishna conscious, and we can see how she reacts. Just give me a moment. So Prabhupada explains in the lecture. So when the mother understood that her sons were killed, certainly she was very, very unhappy. Mata Sishunam Nidanam Sutanam Nishyamya Goram Paritapya Mana. Lamenting. That is natural. So, Tadarudat Vaspa Kala Kulakshi. With tears she was crying. And Tam Santavayan, pacifying. Aha, Kiritamali. Kiritamali is Arjuna. So they were directly connected with Krishna. Draupadi's another name is Krishna. It's Krishna and Krishna. Draupadi's another name is Krishna. And still they had to suffer the material pangs. Not that because one is Krishna conscious, there will be no more material suffering. Actually, those who are Krishna conscious, they have no material suffering. Although it appears that they are suffering, they are not suffering. They can accept any so-called suffering and accept it as mercy of Krishna. They never take it as suffering. Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bunjanevatma kritam vipakam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee, when he is suffering, so-called suffering, he accepts it as the mercy of Krishna. Tatte nukampam. And he rather thinks, Krishna, that I had to suffer so many more times, but you have minimized it, giving me little suffering. So it is your mercy. And if anyone lives on that attitude, everything taken as Krishna's mercy, then he is guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. Mukti pade sa daya bhak. Daya bhak means is going back to home, back to Godhead, is exactly like the inheritance of property by the son. Mukti pade sa daya bhak. So we should learn from the Pandavas that Krishna was always present with them. Still they had to suffer so much material tribulations, so they were never unhappy. Neither they requested Krishna that, my dear friend Krishna, you are always with us, still we had to suffer. Never express that. That is pure devotion. Never try to take any benefit from Krishna. Simply try to give benefit to Krishna. Do not take any benefit from Krishna. That is pure devotion. Manasa deho geho jokichu mor arpilo tuvapade nandakishor. Nandakishore is Krishna. So this is full surrender. My dear Nandakishore, whatever I have got, now I am offering everything unto you. Whatever I have got. Manasa deho geho. I have got my body. I have got my mind and a so-called home or a wife or a few children. What have I got? So everything is offered to you. Manasa deho geho jokichu mor. This is full surrender. Now he says, Marobi rakobi jo icha tohara. I am surrendering to you everything. Now if you like, you can save me. Or if you like, you can kill me. This is full surrender. So in the beginning, Prabhupada explains that Draupadi was very unhappy. Later on, Prabhupada explains, so they were never unhappy. It is only superficial. So that is the difference between somebody in pure devotional service. They're characterized by, their devotional service is characterized by unmotivated, and they're unmotivated and uninterrupted. Ahaituki and apratihata. So Draupadi, although superficially she was crying, her devotional service was not motivated. She was not asking the Lord, why did you do this to us? So it's not motivated and it's uninterrupted. Even though she lost her 5 children, that's not an ordinary thing for a mother to lose all 5 children. Still, her devotional service is uninterrupted. And Prabhupada explains that the Pandavas are eternal associates of the Lord. And the Lord puts these eternal associates of the Lord into these situations to teach us and to bring out their glories. So although you can see superficially she's crying, but you can see the real essence, that her devotional service doesn't become motivated by that incident, and neither does her devotional service get interrupted. In fact, Prabhupada explains that the devotee thinks that you have minimized it, giving me little suffering. And Prabhupada, when he was in Mauritius in 1975, at that time the Prime Minister had provided a car for Prabhupada, the limousine, for him to move around, and he had provided an army man as driver. So Prabhupada had the best facility in Mauritius. So sometimes he would ride in that car. So one day, when they were driving on a narrow road, and there were sugar cane fields on either side. And suddenly somebody came from the opposite direction, and he was from South Africa, so he didn't know to drive in Mauritius. So he came on the wrong side of the road, and there was a head-on collision. And just before that collision, Prabhupada had just moved his cane to the front. So he banged his head. Again, the cane prevented a more serious injury, and he was bleeding from his legs. So when they reached, Prabhupada didn't speak much about it. When they reached back, at that time, Harikesh Swami was the secretary, and he was shocked seeing Prabhupada bleeding. And Prabhupada simply said that Krishna was so kind that I was supposed to get much more than this, but he only gave me this much. So that was Prabhupada's own attitude. And after that, in the room, interestingly, they read the pastime of the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. So today happens to be the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. And the life of Haridas Thakur is extraordinary. And we can see what it means to be a pure devotee, that although Haridas Thakur was whipped in 22 marketplaces because the Muslim rulers, they didn't like him, and he was whipped in 22 marketplaces. But each time that happened, the Haridas Thakur said that, "Oh my Lord, I deserve this." So that was the attitude of Haridas Thakur. He never thought, "Oh, I'm following the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the holy names, and despite following the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, look what happened." But because of the attitude of Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya personally took these beatings on his back. So the marks were there on Lord Chaitanya's back. So that is the nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one who renders service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can never be a loser, even materially. So the Lord always takes care of his devotees, especially somebody who is attached to chanting the holy names, somebody is attached to hearing the Bhagavatam, and somebody is attached to giving out these holy names. The Lord takes special care of such devotees, and we can see to what an extent Lord Chaitanya went to take care of Haridas Thakur. And the pastime of the disappearance of Haridas Thakur is again very amazing. Lord Chaitanya would send his servant Govinda to Haridas Thakur with prasadam every day. So one day when Govinda went to see Haridas Thakur, he was very weak and he was lying on his back. And when Govinda offered prasadam to Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur said, "Oh, I have not finished my rounds. How can I take prasadam?" But nevertheless, it is a principle that when one gets prasadam, one has to honor it. So the moment he got it, he took a little bit and he honored the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. So here was Haridas Thakur, that he was in his ripe old age, and Prabhupada explains the kind of vow that he took, chanting almost 22 hours a day, very difficult for us to follow. But even in the old age, he was attached to following that vow. And Prabhupada explains that just by the chanting of great devotees like Haridas Thakur, the whole world can be purified. But he says, these are not to be imitated. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a whole book called Vaishnava K, warning devotees not to try to imitate Haridas Thakur. And Prabhupada, especially when he took his followers to Vrindavan, he was very careful. He said, "Do not mix with the Radhakund Babaji's." And he said, "Do not become an imitation follower." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, the whole book Vaishnava K, there's a purport to that book by Jayapathak Maharaj, the very detailed purports, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in each verse, he is condemning the attitude to just go and sit and chant the holy names when you're not qualified. And because it is very attractive for somebody to see, oh, what attraction this person has for chanting the holy names. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns that in your mind you're always thinking of women and money. And just to get that, you're trying to go and sit in Radha Kund and chant the holy names. So that platform of chanting 22 hours a day is meant for somebody who's crossed the stage of Anartha Nivriti. But in our stage, we have to chant 16 rounds minimum. Prabhupada would sometimes emphasize that at the time of initiation, he would ask, how many rounds are you supposed to chant? You can see in some lectures, when devotees say 16 rounds, and Prabhupada clarifies and he says, 16 rounds minimum. So that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to chant 16 rounds minimum and engage in the process of devotional service as given to us by Prabhupada, our spiritual masters and superiors to us in Krishna consciousness. One should not prematurely think, let me become like Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was so great and Lord Chaitanya was so attached to him that Haridas Thakur had a wish that at the time of his death, he should place the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya on his chest and his eyes should be fixed on the lotus face of Lord Chaitanya. And he should utter the names Sri Krishna Chaitanya and leave this world. So, when Govinda went and met Haridas Thakur, and when Haridas Thakur explained his situation, he came and reported this to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And immediately Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood. So next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there with all his followers. And there, Haridas Thakur expressed his desire that I have one desire. And he says, I am not qualified. I am an imitation devotee. But somehow, you are magnanimous. You are very merciful. So kindly fulfill this desire that I want to place your lotus feet on my chest. And I want to gaze at your lotus face. And I want to say Sri Krishna Chaitanya and depart from this world. And seeing the desire of Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to grant that desire of Haridas Thakur. So in that glorious manner, with the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his chest and gazing, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, that like two bumblebees, the gaze of Haridas Thakur was fixed on the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he uttered several times, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And this way, he passed away from this material world. And Lord Chaitanya, immediately after that, he was so ecstatic that he began to take the body of Haridas Thakur on his lap and he began to dance with Haridas Thakur. And he went, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that he danced for a long time. After some time, because it went on for a long time, Gadadhar Pandit reminded Surabh Damodar reminded Lord Chaitanya that we have to make other arrangements for the to place his body in Samadhi. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went, and of course after that, I mean during the dancing, the dancing was led by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and Vakreshwar Pandit, who was famous for his dancing, was also personally present. So both of them danced very ecstatically. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went and he begged alms from the various shopkeepers, and he got alms for the prasadam feast. Then he personally placed the body of Haridas Thakur in Samadhi, and he personally covered it with dust. Then he declared, of course, first they washed the body of Haridas Thakur in the ocean, and sandalwood pulp from Jagannath was smeared over his body. And after that, Lord Chaitanya declared that anybody, this ocean has now become very special and very transcendental. And he says that anybody who takes bath in this ocean is no longer an ordinary ocean. It has washed the body of Haridas Thakur. So anybody who takes bath in that ocean is most fortunate. And yesterday was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance. In the year 1871, he wrote 10 English verses about the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. And these are engraved on the tomb of Haridas Thakur in Jagannath Puri. So, today is the beginning of the Nama Yajna in Mayapur on the auspicious disappearance of Haridas Thakur. So it is an opportunity for us. Prabhupada said that just by this chanting you can attain all perfection, because the holy name is transcendental sound vibration. And all that he said is, was, you don't have to do some mental gymnastic trying to control your mind, do this, do that. He said simply hear the chanting of the holy names, and we should not think, okay, I'm chanting now, next mantra I'll be more attentive, why not this mantra? So we have, the mind has the tendency to trick us in different ways, but we don't have to listen to the mind. And on this auspicious day of the disappearance of Haridas Thakur, we can pray to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can pray for the mercy of Haridas Thakur, that we may be able to attentively hear the holy names. And when one attentively hears the holy names, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that when one is dedicated to this process of chanting the holy names, then Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela. Rupa, the form of the Lord, automatically manifests. Guna, and then the Guna manifests. Leela, the pastimes of the Lord manifest. So we don't have to follow a separate process. We don't have to go and sit in Radha Kund and try to become an associate of Krishna by mental imagination. But rather, the holy names are so powerful. Nija Sarva Shakti, all perfection is there in the holy name. The holy name can give us Krishna Prema. Of course, the holy name in conjunction with Bhagavatam, in conjunction with executing the instructions of the spiritual master, then all perfection can be attained. So this is a very special day, and usually on special days, already the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He has broken open the treasure house of love of God. So already it's like a flood. But on special days like this, the disappearance of Haridas Thakur, the flood is overwhelming. Like for example, I just wanted to mention this to you. During the flood, one devotee told me that she lives on the fifth floor of the Yashodhyan Bhavan. So somebody from abroad called her, and so when she was explaining about the flood, somehow this devotee was calling from abroad thought that her apartment is also flooded on the fifth floor of the Yashodhyan Bhavan. So she said, no, I told her, then it must be Pralaya, you know. So only Pralaya can flood the Yashodhyan Bhavan. So although there is a big flood, so on the days of special days like Haridas Thakur's disappearance and other holy days, it's like Pralaya, you have extra unbelievable mercy. So if we can dedicate ourselves to chanting the holy names on this day very sincerely, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be very pleased upon us, and by His pleasure we can make very rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness, and we can be properly situated like how Draupadi was. And Prabhupada also explains, Maharaj Ambarish also was very fixed up, and Maharaj Katwanga was also very fixed in devotional service, uninterrupted devotional service. Srivas Thakur, associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his son dies during the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but yet he tells his family members, don't disturb the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. So this is the special benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that if we stick to his process of pure devotional service, all perfection can come. So let's take full advantage of this day, not only this day, from every day hereafter, to let us rededicate ourselves to seriously chanting the holy names and following the process of pure devotional service. So I'll stop here since it's 8:45. Those of you who want to leave can leave. If you have any questions or comments. Yes, bro.
Thank you for class, Achinda Shidana Prabhu. You're speaking about unmotivated, uninterrupted Krishna. She was having this mindset. So what can be like practical advice, how we can make it throughout the daily life unmotivated, uninterrupted?
Good question. My practical experience in life has been, if you try to seek out those devotees who are practicing unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service, and if you hear from them and try to serve them, then automatically it purifies your heart, and the tendency for the desire, the tendency for unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service awakens in our heart. Because Prabhupada explains in the teachings of Lord Rishabhadev that when a pure devotee speaks, the saffron particles from the lotus feet of Krishna are there in that. So they enter the ears. So from the lotus feet of Krishna, so the saffron particles enter the ears, they go into the heart and purify the heart. So when we try to seek out those devotees who are practicing unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service, by that I just do not necessarily mean those who have attained the level of Krishna Prema. But Prabhupada said, anybody is strictly trying to do that, when they speak Krishna Katha, it has that effect of purifying your heart. And when you try to serve them, you can see it tangibly, that your heart is being purified and you're advancing quickly in pure devotional service. So, I mean, if we can try to do that, Mahat Seva, that's a very, very, very potent way advancing in Krishna consciousness. Because, of course, hearing from Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam, that's the primary thing. But apart from hearing from the Bhagavatam, we should also try to render service to the pure devotee. Prabhupada explains, that we have to render service to the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. So we have to hear Bhagavatam and also serve the Bhagavatas. So in the combination of the two, that is very potent. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.